This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa sallallahu wa sallama ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Before I commence, I'd like to tell all those who have their phones up to put your phones down. We will not be recording in this masjid, inshallah. I have a recording which I will make public later. So the phones that are up would be disturbing the others. Please, can you put them down, inshallah? My beloved brothers, my sisters, the Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You and I know that Allah is the creator. There can never ever be speech that is more powerful than that of Allah. So therefore, if anyone wants to do themselves a favor, get connected with the Quran. If you would like to connect with Allah, connect with the Quran. And Allah Almighty will be connected with you, because that is His word. If someone gives you so much of importance that they learn your words, don't you think there will be a bond between you and that person? So when Allah Almighty has asked you to learn the Quran, to memorize it, to put it into practice, to convey it to others, you need to know that even without that instruction, we should already have connected ourselves with the Quran. So if there is an instruction, imagine how powerful it may be. And it is. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "Khayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'ana wa 'allamahu." The best from amongst you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. Then the hadith says, "Khayrukum aw khiyarukum ahasinukum akhlaqa." The best from amongst you are those with best character. Another hadith says, "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlihi." The best from amongst you are those who are best to their family members. Are you noticing how this hadith speaks about the best of you, the best of you, the best of you? We started off by saying, is the one who learns and teaches the Quran, because when you learn and teach the Quran, you automatically become the best of character, the best of conduct, the best to your spouse, the best to your family. That means you are practicing upon the Quran. If you have known the Quran off by heart, but your character at home is bad, it means your connection with the Quran is weak. That's what it means. That's why we have witnessed those who completed the Quran today. Wallahi, the biggest responsibility is the fact that you have the Quran with you. Carry yourself like the one who has the Quran with him or her. When you have memorized the Quran, you've actually done the easy part. وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. We have made this Quran easy to remember, to memorize, to learn, to put into practice. All of that is included in a dhikr. هَلْ مِن مُدَّكِرِ. Is anyone going to put it into memory? Is anyone from amongst you going to make an effort to learn it, to put it into practice, and so on? So Allah Almighty is telling you, we made that easy for you. We made that easy for you. Are you going to do it? Do you know what? People have come back from Hajj now. I'm sure there are many who are seated here who must have been for Hajj, or at least a few. May Allah accept it from you. When do you know that your Hajj was accepted? It's quite simple. The farad is done. But the broader acceptance of your Hajj is connected to your life having changed. If your life did not change and you came back and went into the same bad habits, what was the point of that Hajj? What benefit did you benefit? How is it that your sins are going to be forgiven when you haven't even quit them yet? So this is why in many cultures, when a person has fulfilled their Hajj, they call the person Haji. Haji Sahib, have you heard that before? You go to West Africa, they say Al-Hajj, Al-Hajj Muhammad, Al-Hajj Ali, and so on. Al-Hajj. Why Al-Hajj? Why do they keep on saying that? You are no longer Mr. and you are no longer this, and you are now not even, they won't even call you brother. They call you Haji. in order for the honor of your Hajj to be given to you and the reminder that you are Haji, you are not an ordinary person, you have made Hajj, which is the fifth pillar of Islam. You have fulfilled it, remind the people. The reason is when you are reminded, the minute you feel lazy for Salah, you tell yourself, but I made my Hajj. I already went through a time when all my sins were forgiven. Let me go and do something better. Let me fulfill my Salah. Let me quit my bad habits. Let me not do this and not do that because I'm a Haji. I made Hajj. That would mean that if a person comes back from Hajj and is not bothered about how their life changes, it would be a loss. The same rule applies when you memorize the Quran. You memorized it. رُبَّ قَارِئٍ لِلْقُرْآنِ وَالْقُرْآنُ يَلْعَنُهُ. There are some people who recite the Quran, but the Quran is cursing them. Why? One of the reasons is, you are reading the verse of the instruction of Allah, and you yourself are not practicing upon it. Subhanallah. So what is the Quran saying to you? That why are you just reading me and reciting melodiously, but you yourself are not bothered about the instructions that I've come with? Similarly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to us, Allah elevates some people with the Quran and Allah drops some people with the same Quran. So be careful. O Ummah of the Quran, are we not fortunate? The most beautiful recital. Recently, I witnessed some videos that were doing their rounds of people playing Surah Baqarah in front of the Baqarah. Have you seen that? I didn't do it myself. I just witnessed it. But I'm not surprised by the result. You know why? This is Kalamullah. It's the word of Allah. If you have seen it, you'd know what I'm talking about. They say they play it loud. And what happens? The cows are amused and they are affected by this recitation in such a positive way that number one, they want to look towards it. Number two, they want to go towards it. Allahu A'lam. It wasn't me who did that, but I saw quite a few people who tried it. They say it works. Guys, you got something to do. But for me, what was more important than that was we are worse than cows sometimes. The Quran is recited for you, O man, and you don't even look. When Allah says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Would you like the mercy of Allah if you want it when the Quran is being recited? Keep quiet, listen attentively and concentrate. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Then you shall have the mercy of Allah. In order that you achieve the mercy, what should you do? When the Quran is being recited, keep quiet, listen attentively, concentrate. And that is the reason why the kuffar of Makkah, when the Quran was being recited, they knew it has an impact, powerful impact. It has the effect to heal the heart, to heal the mind, to heal the body. Allah says it has shifa in it. Allah says it has in it itminanul qalb. It has the sukoon and the peace of the heart. Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. Ala bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Those who believe achieve the calmness of the heart by the remembrance of Allah. For indeed, it is the remembrance of Allah that will calm the heart. What calms your heart? What calms your heart? Is it not the beautiful, melodious recitation of the Quran? If it is good news to you, you're a believer. It has an impact even upon non-believers. It has an impact even upon the hearts. Go and check out the social experiments that people have engaged in. Seeing any random person on the street and telling them, listen to this, how do you feel? And a lot of them will tell you, I feel calm. I feel relaxed. It's soothing. Those are some of the most popular and common words. So Allah is telling us, it calms the heart. The dhikr, the remembrance of Allah, which is the most powerful remembrance of Allah? Afdalu dhikri, tilawatul Quran. The best dhikr you can ever engage in is the recitation of the Quran. The best dhikr. Why? It's the word of Allah. The word of your Lord, your Maker. Subhanallah. So give importance to this Quran. Continuing from there, it's not only calmness of the heart.
Ya ayyuhan nasu qad ja'atkum maw'idhatun min rabbikum wa shifaa'un lima fis sudur wa hudan wa rahmah.
Allah says, in it there is guidance and mercy. And Allah says, O people, there is a reminder that has come to you. It's a reminder. Powerful reminder. That's encouraging us to go through the meanings. We have memorized it. Now let's look at what it says. The meaning of it. The translation. The tafsir. The broader lessons. When there are lessons that happen in the masjid regarding the Quran and its teachings and the tafsir and so on. Please attend. Why? It is shaitan who comes and make you lazy and think that that is not important because it is the most important. There we go. The word of Allah. How can there be anything more important than kalamullah? So Allah says, maw'idhatun min rabbikum. Beyond that, Allah says, wa shifa'un lima fis sudur. In it, there is cure for what is in the heart. Imagine the qualities of your heart will be cured. The jealousy, the ill feeling, the malice, the dirt, the love of worldly material items that come in the way of you and Allah. Everything is dealt with by what? Recitation of the Quran. Connection with the Quran. The true connection. Sometimes you see a young lad reading beautifully, melodiously. We will tell that young lad, mashallah, tabarakallah. May Allah bless you. What a lovely recital. But my beloved child, listen to one thing. Make sure that your character and your conduct is equally shining. Because your recitation is really shining. Allah gives you. You don't want Allah to take it away. And the hadith says that the Quran, when you neglect it in any way, shape or form, will go away from you even quicker than a camel that is not tied properly. Will go away from you. So connect. How much should I read? That's a question. How much should I read Quran a day? My brothers and sisters, read as much as you can. The more you read, the more time you will have. People say, I'm not reading the Quran because I don't have time. The creator of time, that's his kalam. Read it, you will have barakah in your time. When you don't have time, pick up the Quran and read the Quran. Look at how you will have time. It's a miracle of the Quran. Try it. People say, I can only read one page because I don't have time. Please, my brother, read 4 or 5 pages. See how much your time will increase. These are miracles people don't realize. It's tried and tested. I know a brother who told me that I used to read one page a day fearing the time. Now I read one juz a day and I have a world of time. So much of blessing in my time. May Allah help us connect. Shaitan will come about with every and any excuse for you to disconnect because he knows this is the most powerful kalam. Without a doubt, every Muslim will tell you. If I were to ask you, which is the most powerful kalam on earth, the most powerful words and speech on earth, you'll say it is the word of Allah. No one has a second answer. From among the believers. So Allah says, in it there is cure. And on top of that, there is cure in verses of the Quran. Surah Al-Fatiha has cure in it. Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas, they are known as Al-Mu'awwidhat. They are the surahs wherein which you, if you were to read them, Allah grants you protection because that's His kalam and His word being repeated. There are sicknesses that would be cured by you reading the verses. You are cured from the tempering of shaitan. Ayatul Kursi is very powerful. Do you read it every day, every morning, every evening? When you repeat these verses with sincerity, Allah says they are so powerful that the jinn will not come near. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. I was in Indonesia recently, and I made mention of a point of a magician, a lady from Russia. In an interview online that is there, she was asked, when you're doing your magic and when you're trying to affect people with all types of magic, are there any people that you find it difficult to actually affect? She says, yes, the Muslims. The practicing Muslims who pray 5 times a day. These are the words of a non-Muslim. Go and check it out. It's there. Why? She explains that when they pray, there is a strength. And there is like a dome around them. You just can't get through. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Wallahi, these are non-Muslims telling you. And you think that this Quran we have been blessed with is something minor. It is the most amazing gift that you have, but you don't do qadr of it. You don't appreciate it. Sometimes you have a spouse, a husband or a wife, the best that you could ever have had. But because you don't appreciate them, you lose them. It happens. When you've lost them, you say, oh, you know what? I lost. Too late. Too late. Sometimes you have a gift of Allah, a job. You don't appreciate that Allah's blessed you. And you start dilly-dallying and you don't take it seriously and you lose your job. Allah says, I gave you. You were the one who turned away from me. You were the one who didn't want, who did not appreciate. How many times do you say, لَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ يَا وَاجِدُ جَلَّ جَلَالُ. How many times do you say, to you is all praise, O Allah. To you is all thanks, O Allah. How do you expect to heal from your sicknesses, your diseases, your weaknesses, your difficulties, your hardships? And every one of us has all of those. I have difficulties and you do. The level of the difficulty is different, but I have hardship. You have hardship. The level of your hardship and mine is different, and others might be more, others are less. But we have it because Allah says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. We will test all of you. You're going to go through challenges. You will have sickness. The level of your sickness differs. Some will die in their sickness. Some of the sicknesses we are told by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you have them, you die with the rank of a martyr. Imagine what type of a sickness that is. You die with the rank of a martyr. Why? Because you were patient. You thanked Allah, oh Allah, you kept me for 60 years with such good health. Now that I'm unwell, the first thing I want to do is to thank you for those 60 years. Don't complain. Ayyub alayhi salam was ashamed to complain to Allah because he tells his wife, Allah kept me healthy for so many years. I'm unhealthy for a short time. How can I make dua to him to tell him that, oh Allah, this and that. Subhanallah. Look at the level of love of Allah. He doesn't even want to complain. Oh Allah, you've kept me in this condition. I'm still happy. We are not prophets of Allah. We are not Ayyub alayhi salam. So don't go back home and say, today we were told don't make dua. For us, you have a massive reward in calling out to Allah before you have the problem. Oh Allah, protect me from sickness. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-barasi wal-jununi wal-judham wa min sayyi'i al-asqam. We all started memorizing these du'as. When? When? Please tell me. COVID, mashallah. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-barasi wal-jununi wal-judham wa min sayyi'i al-asqam. I hope you know what that means. May Allah Almighty protect all of us from sickness, from harm, from all the other diseases and grant cure. When you fulfill the right of the Quran, Allah will cure you from diseases you did not know you had. And you don't know and you won't know until when you meet with Allah. You may then find out, you know, you had a disease coming up, but because of your recitation of this and of that, of the Quran, we cured you. Allah says in the Quran there is cure.
Rabbi a'udhu bika min hamazati shayatin wa a'udhu bika rabbi an yahdurun.
What powerful words Allah says to us, and we repeat these words. Oh my Lord, I seek refuge in you from the whispers of the devil and shaitan, and I seek refuge in you from them, meaning from the shayateen, even coming in my presence. You think they're going to come in your presence after that? You have yaqeen and conviction. That is Allah. So your connection with this Quran, Allah gave it to you in order to encourage you to read it. Imagine if you're a father and you see your son not paying attention at school, for example. You want to encourage him. You say, go to school. It's important. Go to school, this. Go to school and that. And you try to encourage him and then you give him an incentive and you say, if you go to school, I will pay you £10. I'm giving you an example. What are you doing? You're trying to encourage him even more. But even if you don't pay him the £10, isn't it important? Better than school, let me give you an example of madrasa. Why must we give the example of school? Okay? Madrasa, because a lot of the guys are lazy to go to madrasa. You tell them, you go, I'll pay you £10. What will the child do? If he's sharp, he'll bargain. Make it 20. Right? If he's sharp, he'll bargain. Make it 20. I see the youngsters here are not impressed with 20. It's too little, isn't it? In Bolton, how many? 50. Oh, look here. MashaAllah, 50. Make it 50. Allah Almighty gives you and I, the young, the old, the adults, the males, the females, Allah gives us incentive by telling us, read one word of the Quran, I give you 10 hasanat. 10 hasanat is worth more than that 50 we were talking about. But still we don't read. Still we don't read. Look how Allah is telling you one letter, and the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, وَلَا أَقُولُ أَلِفْ لَامْ مِيمْ حَرْفٌ وَلَكِنْ أَلِفٌ حَرْفٌ وَلَامٌ حَرْفٌ وَمِيمٌ حَرْفٌ. It's as though you're talking to little children, subhanAllah, but you're talking to adults. You're telling them, look, I'm not telling you alif, lam, mim is a letter. Alif is a letter, lam is a letter, mim is a letter. You are going to get 30 hasanat for saying alif, lam, mim. And people haven't read Quran yet, and we're adults, and we're old people. What are you talking about? To encourage you to read Salatul Fajr, here is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling you Raka'ata al-Fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. Two units of the Sunnah of Fajr. Two units of what? Sunnah of Fajr. Greater than the whole world and whatever it has. What is that? That's an encouragement. My question is, if the Sunnah is that valuable, what is the Farah? Have you thought of it? If the Sunnah is that much, what is the farad? La ilaha illallah. My brothers and sisters, this is the second lecture from the tour known as Healing the Ummah. And we're talking of the Quran. Yesterday, I touched on the burning of the Quran. And the point I raised is that if a person had found any fault in the Quran, they would not need or feel the urge or the frustration to go beyond that. They would have told you and made a big deal about it. But when they haven't found anything, then shaitan led them to think about burning it. So the fact that someone burnt it, it goes to show that they couldn't intellectually challenge it. They didn't have something to talk about it. They didn't have negatives. They couldn't have had. So actually you need to thank Allah Almighty to say we are the Ummah of the Quran. But today, because we had youngsters completing the memorization of the Quran, I seized the opportunity to say, guess what? We have it in our hearts. You can't burn that. We have it in our hearts. Here we are, five children in Bolton. Oh, subhanAllah. When I was told, would you be okay if they recited the last verses for completion? I said, why not? Why not? How can we not be? People are burning. We've put it in our hearts. And Allah says, would you like the protection of Allah? If you want it, put the Quran in your heart. Allah will protect you. Allah will protect you. So my brothers and sisters, this is a powerful encouragement. Abdullah Aid has made it possible for us this time to go around speaking about healing the Ummah. If you listen to all the episodes, you will probably get a lot. Today, I want to tell you, you will heal yourself. You will heal your body, your spirituality, your mind, whatever else it may be. through the Quran. And on top of that, if you were to follow it and put it into practice, you would be healed in your relationships and you would be able to heal the entire ummah and whatever the ummah is facing and going through, because you go back to the word of Allah. I am in no way belittling the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I firmly believe in the sunnah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we would not be considered believers if we don't believe in Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or if we don't believe in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But because the topic is the Quran, that's why we are talking more about the Quran. May Allah Almighty grant us acceptance. People are struggling across the globe. Just like amongst us, there are some who are struggling. Some are struggling because they don't have jobs. Some do not have clothing. Some do not know where they're going to get the next meal from amongst us. Some are struggling because of debt. May Allah make it easy for you to pay it back. Some are struggling because life has become very expensive. They can't afford things. Some don't have jobs, some don't have any income whatsoever. Some are struggling because of health matters. Some are struggling because of so many factors, the list is endless. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, turn to Allah. Firstly, turn to Allah. Allah has the key to the solutions of your problems. Number one, you turn to Allah. If you have not turned to Allah and you turn to everyone else, you are making a mistake. But you turn to Allah, Allah will guide you where to go to solve the matter. Allah will create a situation miraculously to solve your problem. Subhanallah. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. You know, a story comes to my mind, if you guys want to listen attentively. There was a brother. And obviously there's positives and negatives to this story, but you have to listen to it. There's positives and negatives to the story. There was a brother who always did siwak. And he always thought to himself, you know what, this is sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I was told this many years ago by a first party. And so when he was traveling, he was stopped by the police. Because he was speeding. And the traffic warden stops him and says, you know what? You are speeding. You're going to be fined. And he says, you know what? Well, I'm sorry. He says, and you don't have a seatbelt. So that's another fine. So whatever it was, let me put it in pound terms. Say, for example, the speeding was 200 pounds. And the seat belt is another 200 pounds. For example, I'm not too sure what it was. It was a long time back. And he had his child sitting next to him in the front seat. He says, you're going to be fined for that too, because that's also not allowed. And this brother was just saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Subhanallah. A little while later, he takes out his siwak and he starts. So the copper asks him, what are you doing? He says, no, nothing. He says, why did you take the stick out? He says, well, I'm just cleaning my teeth. I'm just brushing my teeth. So this copper looks at him and says, you know what? He's ripping the ticket and he says, this time I let you go. Because if you can't even afford the toothbrush, you're not even going to pay anything here. But next time, make sure that you don't repeat all of these things. This man, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, and he's going. Anyway, the positives and negatives, I'm sure you'll understand of them. I'm not trying to encourage you to say, please try this and do this. No, it won't work. But the moral of it is, if it is true, and if what I heard and I was told is actually fact, then you know what? That man's tawakkul was on another level. That man was lucky. He was a fortunate guy. But my brothers and sisters, imagine when we connect to what Allah has taught and what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught. Allah Almighty will grant us the opening of this dunya and the akhirah. Don't we want goodness in this world? Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. We make a dua, oh Allah, grant us goodness in the dunya. And oh Allah, grant us goodness in the akhirah. And save us from what? Adhab an-nar, the punishment of the fire. If you want that, You need to understand the owner of everything is Allah. Ask yourself every day, how much am I connected with Allah and how am I going to do better? Every one of us, in worldly matters, we always want increase. We always want more and more and more and more. No matter how much you have, you want more. You have 1 million, you want 10 million. You have 10 million, you want 100 million. You have 100 million, you are on another league. That's what it is. You're on another league. And now, you're playing with the, mashallah, the boys in your league. We talk about beautiful things. Allah gave you that to see how you are going to use it to prepare for Jannah. How are you going to buy your Jannah? Why do I say buy? Do you know why? If you have 100 million, you can buy Jannah. That doesn't mean you don't read your salah and all that. Your farad and your pillars of Islam are there. Your farad is your farad. It cannot change. But I want to tell you something very interesting. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam made an announcement. Who is going to buy this well and for him is Jannah? Here comes Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. What did he do? He purchased it. They call him Uthman Ghani. Ghani means he's wealthy, he's rich. He bought the well and for him was Jannah. He did something else and for him was Jannah. What was it? It was the wealth. He used the money. So you can use your money and get Jannah. By giving your money to a cause that is absolutely necessary, something the ummah will benefit from, you are quenching the thirst of a person. Allah says, this man is giving his money to purchase a well. And through that well, he's going to get Jannah. He's healing the ummah. Look at that. Because he's going to allow them to drink. But I want to tell you, not everyone is on the level of Uthman radiallahu anhu. Not everyone is on the level of Abdurrahman ibn Auf radiallahu anhu. They were wealthy people. Some of us don't have that much. When they left this world, they left hundreds of thousands of silver coins and gold coins. Some of us, up to this moment, we've never seen what a gold coin looks like. Agreed? Oh, you have. Okay, that's good. My brothers and sisters, are you sure it's a genuine one, brother? I tell you, the hadith then tells us about something that is an even better deal. I tell you what it is. You'll be very surprised, but you know it. Didn't a man earn Jannah because he quenched the thirst of a dog? Yes, of a dog. Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu quenching the thirst of the whole of Medina. What level of Jannah is that? Allahu Akbar. And he was already Sahabi Jalil, one of the top companions. He was already from the 10 who was told that for you is Jannah. Here's another means, and another means, and another one. I always sit and think, imagine if we were from among those whom we were told for you is Jannah. What would you do? What would I do? What would we do? I hope that we would do more and more good deeds to say, now that I've got Jannah, let's get a higher level. But unfortunately, man is such that once he knows he got something, he says, now I can sit back, relax, and let's enjoy a few of our last days here because we are going to Jannah anyway. And then you end up losing it. It's like the guy who was dreaming. And in his dream, they were offering him a flake. You know what's a flake? A nice chocolate, right? And he argued, no, I need two flakes. I need two flakes. I need two flakes. The man says, just take one. He says, no, I need two flakes. He says, no, just take one. And suddenly his eye opened. When his eye opened, he realized it was a dream. So he closes his eyes and he says, okay, just give me one. Just give me the one. That's what happens to us, subhanallah. Here the hadith is telling you, you can get Jannah by quenching the thirst of an animal. Wallahi, today I want to talk to you about something interesting. We want to help the people who are struggling and suffering with their health. You know, when you and I were unwell at some point in our lives, weren't we appreciative of those who helped us? Our families, you are married, your wife perhaps did for you unimaginable things. She might have cried more than you to Allah, making dua, oh Allah, cure my husband. And here you are not appreciating that. And vice versa. Some of the husbands, they quietly make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, cure the mother of my children. Oh Allah, cure my spouse, my wife, and so on. And imagine when you notice and you see and you are unwell, you feel so good about it. You are half cured. Why? Because people around you are meaning well. It's a sunnah to visit the sick and ill. Why? You're healing the ummah. That's what it is. Visit them. And please, when you visit the sick and ill, you must use your sense a little bit. You don't go and say, we have to visit the ill because we're going to get Jannah here. And you sit there all day drinking tea and eating food and the people of the house must be worried about you. You need to know when to go and how long to sit for. That's all. Sometimes they are not healthy to even see people. So send a message. We are making dua. It's enough. Today, even that much is considered visiting the sick. Because why? You visited them through a message. It's not on the highest level. The highest level is to visit physically. But sometimes if the person is very ill and sick, they might be asleep, they might need the rest, and you're going to go and sit with them, you're going to make it worse. Send a message. It's okay. Or phone call. Or phone one of the family members nearby and ask them, and so on. But the point I want to raise is, to visit the sick and ill is indeed a great act of worship. When you do that, Allah will protect you as well from sickness. Or if He affects you, and if you are inflicted by something, Allah will grant you some form of comfort and cure. So, when Allah Almighty has written sickness for someone, they have to bear patience. The point I was raising earlier is, if someone helped you while you were sick and ill, don't you give dua to them? Let me tell you what type of dua. It is reported in a hadith Qudsi that Allah Almighty will say to Banu Adam, to humankind, that I was sick and you didn't visit me. And Banu Adam will say, oh Allah, how can you have been sick when you are Rabbul Alameen? You are the Lord of the worlds. And Allah Almighty will respond to say, did you not hear of so and so who was sick and ill? Had you visited them, you would have found me there. You'd have found me there. Had you inquired about them, had you visited in order to be of a positive effect on the sickness so that you can actually help them in their curing stages. That's what it is. You help them. What will you earn? You will earn a connection with Allah. So why did I help this person? Not because they related to me, but they are a member of the ummah. That's what it is. They are a member of the ummah. The man is not related to me. Member of the ummah. When a person is going through hardship and they are broken hearted, say a good word. Be there for them. Visit them. Give them a good word. What will you do? You will heal them. You heal the whole ummah. So many people enter the fold of Islam in the prisons. So many people enter the fold of Islam in the prisons. And guess what? It's because when they are broken hearted, someone comes to them and gives them hope in the mercy of Allah. Read the Quran. Come, let's pray. Come, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's share our food. Let's whatever it may be. Because Allah Almighty is with the brokenhearted, according to Hadith Qudsi. So I want to ask you a question. Sorry, I have a strange request. The seat has dropped. Can I lift it up again? Sorry, it's part of healing the ummah. Mashallah. Jazakallah khair. Mashallah. Shukran. May Allah reward you. Now you might wonder, why did I stop my speech just to lift it up? You know, if you don't speak and you're shy, you don't achieve. There's nothing. We're all men here, inshallah. So the point I'm raising is, today, as we are sitting here, there are people who are sick and ill. How are you going to help them? You may not be able to visit all of them. There are some people who have a difficulty that requires some intricate medication, something that's not easily available. You have the capacity to help make that available. Imagine if you were driven out of your homes. Just imagine. Inshallah, it will never happen. And imagine you had to run. And imagine you ended up somewhere as a refugee. And imagine as you are seated as a refugee, someone brings you a tent and tells you, you know what? This is from the people of England in Bolton. And you're sitting somewhere in Syria or Turkey or Jordan. I have witnessed with my eyes the dua and the tears rolling down the cheeks of the elderly mothers of community and giving dua upon dua upon dua upon dua as though they cannot stop the duas to people they've never ever met, who come from Bolton, for example, or anywhere else. And guess what? If these people only knew that today you are sitting comfortable where you are because of the dua of someone you will never meet in this dunya, who cried and made a dua for you because you helped them with £100. How's that? I've seen it with my eyes. We have to heal the ummah. We are the ummah of the Quran. We are solidified by the bond of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah has placed. يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. We're supposed to be like a wall, like a building, solid. One brick goes into the other. If you put the bricks one on their own, the wall will fall, but you interlock them. Then you have a proper wall. We should be interlocked. I care for you, my brother. I love you, my brother, my sister. Anything happening to you, I'm the first one to help you. Not because I want something from you. I don't want anything from you. I'm doing it because I love Allah. Wallahu yuhibbul muhsinin. It means Allah loves those who do good. I want to do good not because I think they deserve the goodness, but because I know Allah loves those who do good. That's why I'm doing good. So whether the guy reciprocates it or not, I don't care. Allah knows what I did. That's it. So my brothers and sisters, one of the opportunities that we have today is for the patients who are going through kidney problems where they need dialysis. Imagine you are in a refugee camp and there is no dialysis. You have a kidney problem, you have to wait to die. And many have died. When we started witnessing people dying as a result of kidney failure because of the water and whatever else it is that they might have consumed that destroyed their kidneys, and then we witnessing them dying one by one, we thought we need to inform the rest of the ummah what's happening to a part of the ummah, because it is very possible to help them. They didn't need to have had that struggle and suffering when we are still around and Allah has made it easy for us to help. We can get them some dialysis units and give them that dialysis few times a week. Many people benefit from one machine. Many. Imagine if we have 10 machines and we open it for the refugees in the middle of the desert. And where did it come from? The city of Bolton, for example, or the city of Blackburn, or somewhere. They've never heard of Blackburn. What is Blackburn? هذه هدية من إخوانكم في Blackburn. They will say, what is Blackburn? And then they raise their hands and they start making dua, one after the other. Who are you? Wallahi, my connection with you is only the fact that I'm an ummati of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so are you. I may not know you, but may Allah accept it. So today I told Brother Shakil from Abdullah Aid, I said, my brother, let us have a few of the card machines and a few of the tins as we are leaving the masjid to help those who are struggling with this dialysis. Because the next time I come here, I want to let you know how much we have done for those refugees, the Syrian refugees who are struggling with kidney problems. And inshallah, we'll give generously by the will of Allah. I only want to ask you one question. Will we give?
Inshallah.
That was a good inshallah. Because sometimes you go into some cities, you say, inshallah. You know, when someone says, inshallah, they say, will you come to my house? I say, inshallah. That means I'm not coming. But when they say, inshallah, that means, yes, we will do it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease. Whatever you can. You want to sponsor someone for the whole year, for the whole month, for the whole week, or for one day, or for part of a day, no problem. May Allah Almighty grant ease. I hear him asking, how much is one dialysis, one day, costs you £100. Where are they going to get it from? The idea is to be able to, one machine, subhanallah. You will speak to him a little bit later, inshallah. Wallahi, look, I had a feeling Bolton would give us about 20, 30 machines. And it's a good thing. And all those who may listen to this later online, you can still go to Abdullah Aid on their website and you can donate by the will of Allah. Because we want barakah. You know what? When you encourage someone to give, you get a full reward of it. And the day you are sick and ill, the angels will take care of you. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. So reaching out to the Ummah, healing the Ummah. Like I said, we speak about connecting with the Quran. We speak about connecting with Allah, about quitting your bad ways and habits, about changing your life. But with that, we must also tell you physically do something. If Allah did not give you wealth because you are young or you are a little bit older with a few struggles, no problem. Make dua for them. If you can't afford to give the 100, no problem. You don't have to. Because the work of Allah carries on with us or without us. But if it's with our dua, we will still get a reward for it. May Allah Almighty make it easy. And I want to end with one beautiful encouragement. My brothers and sisters, we are living in an age where people are trying to drift us away from the Quran and Sunnah. I'm telling you that is a fact. Please give importance to your relationship with your children from birth. That's my message. Please take care of your relationship with your children from birth. That's what I'm telling you. From birth. In fact, before birth, when the child is in the belly of the mother, whatever the mother listens to, try and keep it Quran. Try and keep it beneficial things. Some of the children are born and they know all the Bollywood songs. We want our children to be born and already turn towards the Quran in such a beautiful way that it's the Quran that soothes them. Today I'm seeing young boys. I'm so proud of you to be here. I'm so happy that you are here. The young boy who said 50 quid, subhanallah. May Allah bless you with 500 quid, mashallah. What's your name? Muhammad Zain. May Allah Almighty bless you and grant you ease. And all of the others who are here. I met so many of these young lads sitting right in the front here. It shows that our children would love to connect with the deen. If you are not going to spend time with them every single day as a parent, wallahi, you've lost. And that's why those of us who might have been unfortunate to go through a divorce, don't deny the other parent of that particular child a connection with the parent. The reason is you don't know what you're doing. You have no clue who is going to eat up that particular child in a few years. And if there are any children who have been denied access to one of the two parents, don't believe the other one. They're not telling you the truth. Make an effort to go and visit and meet at whatever age you have and can. May Allah Almighty bless us all and grant us ease and goodness. Before I leave, I have a request. I'm a human. By you shaking my hand is not going to elevate your status or mine. And we need to depart, inshallah. We've been very, very busy and we've been moving from place to place. So what I would like you to do, my brothers. What I'd like you to do, inshallah, if you can make a space for us to go. Not because we are arrogant or anything, but it's humanly impossible to greet everyone. Inshallah, if we a few people, we may be able to shake hands, but we don't want to stampede. And at the same time, we need to depart, inshallah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabina Muhammad.